on a series called The Inner Life. The Inner Life, we started a couple weeks ago looking at our identity, that we're all created in the image of God. And then last week, we started in on some of the things and how that gets altered or changed. And so we want to move from a place of negative to a place of positive because God is good. And so last week, we talked about, Miguel talked to you about moving from fear to trust. And fear is this huge catalyst for a lot of the things that we're going to talk about in the remainder of the series. And then this morning, we're going to talk about lies and moving from lies to truth. And lies also are a catalyst for a lot of different things. They can speak a lot of things into your life that are not good for you. And we speak these into others. And so to kind of help us dust the cobwebs off maybe, I got some pop culture references to lies. Some of you who are older than 25 know this. This is a movie called Liar, Liar, where Jim Carrey plays a lawyer who could not stop lying and then all of a sudden was struck with the truth bug and he couldn't do anything but tell the truth. And it got him in all kinds of trouble. Maybe you're more familiar with this. Elf is my favorite Christmas movie. And as he sees the fake Santa, the quote-unquote fake Santa in Macy's, "You are not Santa. You sit on a throne of lies." Maybe this happened to you when you were little. I didn't know we had cookies. And if we did, I didn't see them. And if I did, I didn't eat them. And if I did, it's not that bad. I've had that experience where we told the kids not to eat something, come around the corner, and there's crumbs all over their face. And we learn to lie early. We learn to lie early. "No, I didn't eat the cookies." Well, your face is otherwise. Maybe this phrase is familiar with you. Apparently, if you're older than 30, liar, liar, pants on fire. And this always struck me. Just once in my life, I'd actually like to see a liar's pants actually catch on fire. That would be fun. Then we would know that somebody is lying and not telling the truth. So this morning, we're going to be looking at John chapter 8. John chapter 8. This is the story of Jesus. He's interacting with some Jewish people and some Jewish leaders. It's John chapter 8. It's page 1038 in most of the Bibles in front of you. Some of them, it's a couple pages to the left or right. But John chapter 8, we're going to start in verse 31. But I want to give us some pretext to this passage, how we got to 31. At the beginning of the passage, it starts with a woman who has been caught in adultery. And I don't know what that looked like. I don't know how they knew. I don't know. She was caught. And she gets brought before Jesus because Jesus is going around performing miracles and proclaiming the good news. And they're trying to catch him in an opportunity that doesn't extend his grace or catch him in some kind of lie. And he says, "Is any of you without sin? Let him be the first to throw the stone." Because that was the punishment at the time, stoning. And he bends down, he begins to write in the sand, and one by one, they leave. And Jesus asked the woman, "Did everyone leave without throwing a stone?" And she says, "Yes." And then he says, "Neither do I condemn you. Leave your life of sin." He doesn't say, "Well done. Way to be an adulterer." He doesn't just cover it up. He says, "Go and sin no more. Do not take on this mantle of an adulterer. Change your life and move forward." She is no longer an adulterer. She is forgiven by God, and she can move forward. And then they get in this discussion begins because of these kind of things, and one by one, people are coming to Jesus trying to catch him in some kind of lie or trying to catch him off guilty. kind of mess with him, and they begin to berate him with all kinds of different questions, and we pick the story up in verse 31. It says, follow along with me, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say that we will be set free? Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you are free indeed. I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are ready to kill me because you have no room for my word. I tell you, whatever I have seen in my father's presence, and you do what you have heard from your father. Abraham is our father, they answered. If you were Abraham's children, said Jesus, then you would do the things that Abraham did. As it is, you are determined to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the things your own father does. We are not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God himself. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God, and now I'm here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is you do not belong to God. I want to look at a couple of things this morning. Two main big points in this passage of Scripture. The first is which is truth comes from Jesus. Jesus will always tell you the truth. And we need to hear the truth from him. The second is lies come from the devil. Call him what you want. Call him Satan. Call him the enemy of your soul. Call him that guy. He's real. He exists. And he does not want you to believe, understand, feel, receive truth from God. Now, truth is a tough thing as we grow up in this world, and we tell our kids, "Hey, listen, you need to always tell the truth," and sometimes that can get you in trouble. So, a couple years ago, one of my sons, who will remain nameless, said to someone that we know, hey, we have opposite stomachs. I have a small stomach with a fast digestive system, and you have a large stomach with a slow digestive system. Hi, fatty. The truth is hard sometimes, and we're not necessarily talking about the lies or the truth that are on the border. We're talking about the lies that purposely come out of our mouths and that we receive and we hang on to that alter and change us for the bad. So let's look through this first section of Scripture where Jesus is talking to these people to try to help them understand this truth. So this first two verses are really paramount in understanding this. The first is, to the Jews who believed. So at some point, they believed that Jesus was who he said he was, and at some point, that started to alter or change just a little bit. And he says to them, hold to my teachings. Hold really means to abide, remain, stay in what I teach to you. And teachings here is the word logos in Greek, which really means the word. And so remain in me is what he's saying in the words that I say. In John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in verse 14, the Word became flesh. The truth that came from God, Jesus, became truth for you. And so in one statement, he's saying, believe what I say. What I say is truth, and I am truth. I am trustworthy. Receive me, abide in me, listen to what I say, because I'm going to tell you truth, and that truth is important for you, and that truth will help you sustain in this world. It's an if-then statement. If you believe, if you understand the word, if you remain in the word, then you're my disciples, and then the truth will set you free. This, I've heard this verse quoted out in public, and a lot of people who quote it don't even know where it comes from. And the truth will set you free. It's used in pop culture. The truth will set you free. Well, the truth can only set you free if you know the truth. And the truth is Jesus. And when you have a relationship with truth, with that which is true, in human form, the second person of the Trinity, Jesus, then you will know truth. And when you abide in it, that truth will set you free. It will set you free from the lies of the enemy and the lives of others. It will set you free to tell the truth and be truthful to others so that the things that come out of your mouth are edifying to the people around you and not tearing you down. He says, I tell you the truth. A man who has told you the truth, yet because I tell you the truth, if I am telling you the truth, four different ways in this conversation, he's saying, I am telling you the truth. All the other stuff that you've heard are lies. I'm telling you the truth. And what does that truth look like? Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Everyone who acts out their sin nature becomes a slave to that sin nature. When we lie, it gets us in hot water. Because when we lie, oftentimes we have to lie again to cover up that lie. And then we have to lie again to cover up that lie. And then we have to lie again to cover up that lie. And what happens? We become a slave to that lie. Whatever the acting out of that sin nature is, we become a slave to it. Jesus says, I want to tell you the truth. If you keep on down that road, you're going to stay a slave. And they're like, what? We're not slaves. We've never been slaves. They're missing the point. You're not physically a slave. You become a slave to the things you say when the things you say are untrue. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. When he comes into your life, he sets you free. You are no longer bound. Even when you sin, he still wants you. Imagine that. Even when you screw up, the God of the universe still wants you. Even when you use those things and those things come out of your mouth, the God of the universe still wants you. He wants to set you free, keep you free, keep you free, keep you free, keep you free. If God were your father, you'd love me. You wouldn't be caught up in trying to snag me, catch me off guard. You would love me. Because you would know that the truth is coming from my mouth. Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. We like to say here at Living Christ Church that there's oftentimes three voices that are going on in your head. You may not be aware of this. Maybe you've gotten to this point in your life and you're like, man, I would just like the noise in my brain to stop. There's really three voices oftentimes going on in your head. Yours, God's, and the enemies. Even if you do not know God, God is still talking to you. It is hard to hear until we have him. And when we have him, then we know his voice. It's difficult sometimes to make out that noise in our head. We have playlists or things that play over and over and over again in our brain. God wants the playlist in your brain to be, I love you, I chose you, you are mine, walk in peace, walk in freedom, walk in strength, love your neighbor, trust God. The stuff that's coming in your brain that is, you suck, you're terrible, why can't you just stop? Two choices. It's either the enemy's or we've allowed ourselves to tell ourselves stuff that's not true. I love using this passage of Scripture. I almost never do this. If I'm going to preach to you, we're going to look at the passage of Scripture, and that's what we're going to look at. But I love this verse. And I put it in your bulletin. There's a little take-home for you. We're going to get to that in a second. But Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brothers and sisters," there's a typo there in Scripture, "whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things." I love this mental checklist. Take that little, put it up, put it on your car. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about those things. That is truth. If it doesn't line up with that, then God is not saying it. So it's either a place in your head that needs to stop, or it's the enemy of your soul and you need to tell him to stop. Is it true? Yes, I am overweight. Can I lose weight? Yes. Did I screw up? That's true, yes. Do I have to stay a screw up? No. Whatever it is, this checklist, allow it to break through. It's hard sometimes when the lies come at us. And whether, I don't know if everybody is aware of this or not, because just because I'm a pastor and I've got a bachelor's in youth ministry and psychology, and just because I have a master's of divinity, doesn't mean that the enemy won't still lie to me. I'm not impervious to the lies of the enemy. None of us are. And you'll have good days and bad days. You'll have good days and bad days as a preacher. If anybody tells you that they don't, that it's all peaches and cream, roses and rainbows and unicorns, pooping rainbows, it's not truth. And there, you'll go through seasons where you feel like anything you do or say is not amounting. A couple years ago, I can just remember, it had been a long time since anybody had come to a relationship with Jesus Christ. It had been a long time for a lot of different things. And I was wallowing. And I let the enemy just go, "You're not good enough. All that stuff doesn't matter." Sometimes I wish he would show up physically so I could punch him in his face. This is dating my time frame a little bit, but Facebook had just taken off. And some of my former students from years and years past when I was a youth pastor started finding me on Facebook. "Hey, Pastor Jeff, I don't know if you remember me, but you changed my life. I'm a youth pastor, I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer. The things you said to me when I was little stuck with me. I know how I am. You're part of the reason I am who I am." And we can go through seasons of our life where truth isn't registering in our brain. And that's not how God meant it to be. He wants to speak through the noise. He wants to speak through the untruth and set the record straight of who you are and who he desires you to be. But unfortunately, there is an enemy to your soul. And Jesus begins to talk about him. He says to those listening, "You belong to your father, the devil." If anybody thinks that Jesus is really, really cool and wears that shirt, "Jesus is my homeboy," and that everything that Jesus says is all like hunky-dory, occasionally Jesus says some really, really hard things. Hate to break it to you. And this is one of them. "You are of your father, the devil." Can you just couch that in a little bit? Can you hug me first? At this point, they couldn't break through where they were. So he had to punch it right in the nose and say, you're acting like your father, the devil, is kind of the concept here. The one who slanders, the one who lies, the one who distorts, the one who alters truth. That's how you're acting. Don't act like him. Don't listen to him. Why? Because he is a murderer from the beginning. from the very beginning. If you go back to Genesis chapter 4, he entices a brother to kill his own brother. From the beginning, he is a murderer. He wants to murder your soul. He doesn't want anything good to come to you. And if he can keep you bound, if he can continue to say stuff that lands and he can keep you there, then you won't receive the good stuff of God and nobody around you will. And he'll be certainly happy for that because he is miserable. There is absolutely no truth in him. And Jesus says it a bunch of different ways. When he lies, he speaks his negative tongue. He doesn't know how to tell the truth. He'll give a partial truth. Don't eat that fruit, you will die. Oh, just eat, just take a, you won't really die. Just do this. It won't really cause any harm. He'll give half-truths, partial truths, somewhat truths, and then flat-out lies. Do not listen to him. He is a liar and the father of lies. In case you missed it, he's a liar. Oh, by the way, he's a liar. Did I tell you he's a liar? Over and over again, Jesus says this to them so that they don't get bound. And this is what he does. We're not Abraham's, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves to anyone. He will get that. He will get you focused on the things that have nothing to do with what's helpful to you. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to focus on this so that I can't break free. We're not slaves. We've never been slaves. You're not slaves. You've never been slaves. That's all right. Don't listen to him. Don't listen to that good stuff. Let's just stay right here. You are ready and determined to kill me. It's not their original thought. Their original thought was not to kill Jesus. They originally believed him. The enemy said, no, don't listen to that guy. Don't listen to what he's saying. Don't buy into that. All those miracles aren't real. He's faking it somehow. There's mirrors. They're bound and determined to kill him. It had nothing to do with them. It had everything to do with the lies that the enemy was telling him. You have no room for my word. You have no room for me because you're caught up in the untruth of the enemy. And what happens when we come face to face with some truth and it hurts and it crushes? We respond oftentimes in anger, and that's how they respond. We are not illegitimate children. And this was really an in-your-face Jesus. Because Jesus was born of Mary through the Holy Spirit, it was well known that Joseph was not really his dad, and so they were dropping a bomb. Hey, Jesus, we're not illegitimate children, but you are. They're deflecting. They don't want to deal with what's going on in their lives, in their souls. Don't we do this sometimes in our life? We don't want to deal with that part. So instead, we'll just, you know where that comes from? It comes from the father of lies. It's not your original thought. You're created in the image of God, and God wants you. When we lash out, we're lashing out because of the enemy of our soul. Because the enemy of our soul wants us bound, and he wants us stuck. And he wants us not be able to move. I was talking this week with a friend of mine who said they were working with somebody at one point who was really struggling to hear truth about themselves. There were so many lies rolling around in their head. So they literally prayed with her, Lord Jesus, give her an internal lie detector. So every time a lie of the enemy would come into her brain, she would literally hear a buzzer in her head. Or any time she would go to lie, a buzzer would go off. I love that. I love that image. Because there's so many lies coming at us on a daily basis. We were having a conference here at the church a couple years ago, and we were praying with people. We were praying that they would be able to receive the good stuff, the truth of God, of who they are, of who he desires them to be. And I was praying with this woman over here, and our friend Martin Sanders had been praying with her, and he brought me over, and he said, hey, I just pray with her. And so I start praying with her, and I'm praying like really good prayers in my brain. I was like, wow, this is a really good prayer. Somebody should record this. Well, that's wrong. But I was praying, like, Lord, help her to see, help her to understand, help her to know that she's God's children. And I opened up my eyes, and I just sat there, and she was like this. Her face was down, no smile, nothing was going on. And I just stopped for a second. I said, do you hear the words that are coming out of my mouth? Are these comprehended? And she's like, no, I'm not. I can't receive any of that. And so I closed my eyes and I said, Jesus, give me insight. And I saw this picture in my brain. I know this sounds strange, but God is God, and he's allowed to be weird and allowed to do weird things because it's okay, because he's God, our friend tells us, Rob Reamer. And I saw this picture in my brain of pink fuzzy earmuffs. And I was like, all right, I got to stop eating tacos for lunch. This is not good. What in the world is going on? And I looked back at her and I said, hey, can I just pray one more thing for you? And she said, sure. And I said, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would knock the earmuffs off her ears so that she could hear from you. And all of a sudden, she literally passed out in front of me. And I caught her and I laid her down on the ground. I was looking around. I'm like, somebody's got a hidden camera and they are punking me. What's going on? And Edna, where's Edna? Edna's here. Edna came over and she sat with her and I walked away and I'm just like, this is a first. I need to go take a nap. I need to figure something out. I need to know what's going on. Several minutes pass. I walk over and she's like coming to and she's sitting down in the front pew and I was like, how are you doing? And she goes, what the heck was that? I said, I have no idea. I don't know. I thought you were punking me. And she's like, I wasn't punking you. And I said, well, what happened? And she was like, I don't know, but I feel really, really good. And I said, how good do you feel? I said, when you said that, I felt like God himself came in, picked me up like a little kid, and put me on his shoulder like a baby and patted my back and hugged me. That's how I felt. That's how I feel right now. This feels really good. What did you do to me? I said, I didn't do anything to you. The God of the universe loves you. She needed to have and receive peace. Things were not good in her soul, and she needed Daddy Jesus to hug her. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you're stuck, and we're going through this series, and we're going to needle at these things one by one by one. And if you want to go deeper into them, we offer building blocks that Donna presents to us, and that will start up again in January for session one. The enemy is a liar, and he desires nothing but lies to land. God is truth, and he desires nothing but truth to land for you. So there's a couple different ways this can go this morning, but I really have two maybe possibly helpful tools for you, maybe even three. Inside your bulletin is this first one, and we print it up on nice little paper for you, Ephesians 4:8. Maybe this needs to go on your mirror in the bathroom. So that's the first thing you see in the morning. Maybe you're not a morning person, and so then it needs to go on your visor in your car or after you have your first cup of coffee. Maybe it needs to go in the book you're reading. So every now and then you see this thing, and it's a reminder that God is truth, and he wants truth for you. Maybe you need to pray like my friend did with that woman. That's not the right one. Maybe you need to pray that a buzzer would sound in your brain every time a lie came from the enemy. Maybe you need to to pray, Lord Jesus, I pray that alarm would go off in my soul when I begin to believe the untruths or the lies of the enemy. Jesus goes on to say a ton of different stuff that is really, really good for you and for me, and is not just found in this chapter. And those who followed him go on to say some really, really important things that Jesus says about us. In the back by the door, we have this little pamphlet that says who we are in Christ. And it's verse after verse after verse of how God and what God declares about you. You were adopted into God's family. You were justified by your grace. You were purchased by Christ's love. You were purified by his blood. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit. He dwells in you. And on and on and on and on it goes. Some of you, maybe this morning, just need to inundate your brain with some truth because the lies have been playing for a really, really long time. And this morning is the morning for them to stop. Let me pray with you. Lord Jesus, we've only scratched the surface on the untruth of the enemy. And I pray, Lord, that right now, those who need it would be reminded that they are loved by you. Whether they personally know that yet or not, Lord Jesus, I ask that you would break through and speak truth. Lord, for those who need it, I pray that every time a lie of the enemy would pop into their brain, that an internal buzzer would sound and say, that is not truth. That is a lie from the pit of the enemy. Lord, for those who need it, I pray that this verse, Philippians 4:8, would permeate their being so that they would understand the things that are true and noble and just and pure and lovely and admirable and excellent and praiseworthy are the things that God wants them to think about. So we tell the enemy of our soul this morning, enemy of our soul, you must stop right now in the name of Jesus. And instead, Holy Spirit, speak truth. Pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen. Will you stand? Let's sing together as we close.